Hey, Riverfront. Welcome to the 505 podcast. This is Pastor Chelsea, and today I am joined by some of my favorite team members, the Kitchen Collective team. Lisa, Eric, welcome to the 505. Would you introduce yourselves?
I'm Eric. Eric Rayfield. I'm the events and facilities manager with the Kitchen Collective.
I'm Lisa Bixby. I am the operations manager at the Wilmington Kitchen Collective.
I don't know if y'all can tell already on this podcast, but we're pretty giggly and smiley as a team. And just grateful that you are both a part of this team. Both Lisa and Eric joined the Kitchen Collective family in early October and kind of mid-October. And so I at least feel like we're just starting to settle in to what it means to work together.
Yeah.
I wonder, Eric, if you would start us off, like what excites you about the Kitchen Collective?
I'm excited to work with the entrepreneurs and see them grow, see how, you know, they get their product out to people and their services that they provide for people. And just trying to help them, you know, kind of behind the scenes, you know, get that done. That's really exciting to me.
It's lots of behind the scenes work, right? Yeah. It takes a certain bit of humility on this team because it's lots of behind the scenes.
Yes.
Lots of stuff happening in the background.
Definitely.
What about for you, Lisa?
Well, I too love working with the entrepreneurs, as I think you know. But just seeing something grow that has to do with my background, which was catering. I had a catering business for 23 years and worked very hard and retired a couple of years ago. And now I'm helping other people do what I did, which is really exciting. And seeing the process from the beginning through somebody else's eyes. And you sort of have to take a step back and remember that they're just getting started. So it's a learning process for them and for me as well. Also being in the environment that I'm in, which is an incredibly wonderful environment working with Chelsea and Eric. It's nurturing and warm and fun and not super stressful, which I like. I like learning a lot about the city of Wilmington and what's going on in the city of Wilmington, which I didn't know anything about until I started working here. I was sort of removed from that, so I've learned a lot about what happens down here, and not only what happens, but all the support and help that everybody gives each other and the partners that we have and work with. And it's pretty incredible. I like the idea of more kitchens ahead of us and working on them and finding them and outfitting them. I love that stuff too. So there's not a whole lot I don't like.
That's a good thing. It's
yeah.
a good thing.
Yeah.
Lisa mentioned some of her background in catering. Eric, what is your background? What brings you to this work?
So my background, I've owned and operated a catering business for almost 20 years at this point.
I think he's still dabbling.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he's definitely still dabbling.
A little bit here and there, just a little. I've owned and operated two brick and mortar restaurants. I've worked in different kitchens, you know, for the state of Delaware. I managed a kitchen for them. I managed a kitchen for the University of Delaware. And just in general, just being in the kitchen and, you know, doing my thing. I learned how to cook, you know, when I was young. And I never knew then that I wanted to pursue that. Mm. You know, I always did something else. I always went another direction. But cooking would always call me back. The kitchen would call me back.
Well, it's in your heart. It's in your heart.
Yeah, no doubt. Mm. No doubt.
And the world of food and beverage is not an easy one. So I think we're born with whatever it is that draws us in. Yeah, you got to be a little touched
yeah,
to do
I agree.
It.
But, a little deficient somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You work really hard and don't make a lot of money, and mm-hmm. boy, do we love it.
Yep. Boy, is it the best.
It's the best.
Yeah, nonprofit work's kind of like that too.
Yeah.
Right? It's a little crazy, a little unknown, mm-hmm. lots of stuff happening, for sure. Not a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
sounds like it's got some
similarities.
Yeah.
It's also fun learning about the world of nonprofit because I've never worked in nonprofit before. It's a whole different ballgame. And so you have to sort of pivot. You really do have to pivot and take a look at things. And I'm talking more about spending money than anything else. I've worked with some nonprofit people through my Rotary Club, and they'll buy the $1 spatula, and I'll buy the $25 spatula. So I need to learn how to buy the $1 spatula.
Yeah. Or maybe like the $3.
$3.
I don't want to have to replace it in a week. Yeah. Right?
We also don't want it to melt in the sauce. Yeah. So it's a fine line. What spatula you buy.
Yes. If nothing else, Riverfront friends, take this. Maybe not the $1 spatula.
No, not the $1 spatula.
I've learned a lot about like not the rubber ones.
Yeah.
Make sure we're getting the wooden and the metal ones.
Yep.
And, it's been a gift and a whirlwind these last few months, just learning from these two and their experience in the kitchen. And so much early on in our journey, we needed a lot of expertise and a lot of like the background of how to run a program and how to launch a nonprofit and what were the legal things we needed to be mindful of. And like there was all of this board work and partner work. But at the end of the day, we are running kitchens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's been a gift to have you both in your different background, but in your background of kitchens.
I can probably speak for Eric because I do often, but we're both thrilled to be here to be helping you.
And we are.
I say all the time, and I tell Chelsea that it still amazes me every day that you did what you did to put this thing together.
Yeah.
It's for somebody, people, folks who didn't have the culinary background for what you guys did here, mm-hmm. Grace and at First and Central, just it inspires me. It's amazing because it's a lot, and it was out of your wheelhouse. Now it's right in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now I can talk about grease traps and HVAC systems.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
And hood systems. Chelsea knows more about hood systems than I'll ever know. So.
and any pastor should know.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, just feel, I've been doing a lot of, I feel like we as a team, but especially I've been doing a lot of reflection in the last like couple weeks because the kitchen just celebrated our birthday and
we're two.
And we're not a terrible two. Somebody, we posted that we were two on social media, and somebody private messaged me and said, "Don't you know two is the terrible twos?"
Yeah.
And I was like, "Nah, we're hitting our groove.
Yeah.
This feels pretty good."
Yeah.
But yeah, I've just been doing a lot of reflecting on where we've been and the different gifts that have come in and out of like this table and the different folks who have chimed in, even if it was just for a short season, but who offered their time and their volunteering and so many conversations early on that helped us shape where we are now. And so many pieces that we could have never dreamed, it wasn't part of the dream early on that we would have multiple locations. And yet, here we are about to launch the third.
Yes.
And that's crazy to me.
It's exciting.
Like, in all the best ways, but it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
What are some things in these last few months that have surprised you about the kitchen? Any surprises? Good or bad?
Can't say I'm not surprised by a lot of things. You see me. I'm pretty.
He has six children.
Right. You know, I've got six. I've seen a lot. So nothing really surprises me. You know, as far as the kitchen, sometimes some of the things that people do, as far as you know, their lack of cleaning up behind themselves and stuff like that, I'm like, oh man, they could have done better.
Yeah.
You know, I'm surprised that this person did that.
Yeah.
You know, left that mess. But, I mean, that's so far, that's the extent of it. So far.
Yeah, in the same light, I'm surprised how clean the kitchens are. Because when I first met Chelsea, I thought, how does this work? How does this shared kitchen space stuff work? How does it stay clean? And it miraculously it does. It's pretty amazing. Things that I'm surprised about. I can't think of anything right this second. Something might pop into my mind.
Yeah,
I'll just blurt it out.
Yeah.
When we're talking about
surprise!
Something totally different.
Surprise!
Yeah, right.
yeah, it is. It's still surprising to me how clean the kitchens are as well. Right. It's we now have 18 different businesses who call us home, and it's amazing to me how they come and go. And sometimes somebody has come and gone and we don't even, like...
No, we don't know. I mean,
we know because we have a calendar and we, like, monitor their use and, like, we know. But if I'm just looking at the kitchen, which now, like, with these guys on the team, that's sometimes all I'm doing, you know, I'm not on the calendar as much. And when I just walk through there, I'm like, has anybody been here? Like, because it looks clean and it looks the same.
Some people keep it pretty clean. Some people.
Yeah.
Some people leave a little...
Leave a little
something behind, so you know they've been there.
Yeah.
But it's nothing major, you know, nothing crazy.
Yeah. I think so much of the model of the Kitchen Collective is also that we're a space of teaching and of learning and of working together. Mm-hmm. Right. And so both these guys have mentioned at this point, like, we are working with a lot of business owners who are new to this.
Yeah.
And who are definitely new to working in a commercial space. You know, so many folks who are kind of graduated from baking out of their houses and now all of a sudden they have a kitchen maybe as big as their house.
Right.
And it's like, I think Lisa, you said it, of you expand in the space that you have, right?
Exactly.
So even if you only need a little counter space, and oh man, I'm definitely like this, like I'm gonna mess up all the space, every counter there is.
I'm surprised that I'm working in a church.
Mm.
So I've not had a whole lot of religious background, though my grandfather went to church and my grandparents went to church, so it's not like we were against or anything, but I have not spent a lot of time in churches, and now I spend every day in a church. And if I'm not in this church, I'm in another church. And that's pretty cool too, I gotta say.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of great folks here that work at Grace, that it's been nice to get to know as well. So
nice.
So yeah, that's a little surprising.
That's surprising.
That spending chapter 3 in a church, which is probably the place where I should be. Usually works out that way. There's a reason.
No doubt. We are not dying around this table anytime soon. Speaking it into existence.
That's it.
Longevity. Yeah, but that piece of the unlikely space of church is a part that I really love about the kitchen, you know? And some of our entrepreneurs have named, like, why do you, as a pastor, and why do you as a church care about us? Because the church hasn't cared about us if we aren't in there for Sunday worship. You know, some of our entrepreneurs have shared their stories of pastors and communities who, once they started their job, they were really... not formally kicked out, but they weren't welcomed as much because they weren't there on Sundays.
Ooh.
And it's been a gift to be able to say, I'd love to be your pastor. And I love for, and we care about you, not just for your business, but because we care about you as a human.
Hmm.
And
right.
So, like, how are you? And how is your family? Right. And for me, I mean, anybody who knows me and knows this podcast knows that I'm far less concerned with the building than I am with, it's the community. I think that makes a place of faith.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, it's exciting for me to be able to help facilitate that in the kitchen and just be able to take some of the, like, core aspects of my faith and I think Riverfront's faith identity and to extend that, to our entrepreneurs.
And we have some pretty amazing entrepreneurs and some pretty amazing families under our roofs.
Yeah.
And it's also very cool that, it's not very cool that church kitchens seem to be not being utilized as much as they once were.
Yeah.
But it's very cool that we're doing something with them and helping people in the community and helping the church, who's helping us. So it's just one big reciprocated bundle of love. helping each other out, and that's what we're here for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what we should be here for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Eric, you have a different, a little bit different of a background with faith. How does faith, how does church, how does that story look for you?
So, I mean, either I've been in a church, or should I say in and out of the church all my life, you know, and now I'm in more than anything because my wife courses, going through seminary and stuff like that. And, you know, faith is a big part of our life, you know, our lives, should I say. And we, you know, we teach that to our children as well. So
six children.
Yeah, six yeah. children. And two grands.
And two grands. Twins.
But, you know, so for me, and I it's hard to, you know, kind of put it into a real quick, short answer, but, you know, I've changed. Faith has changed me. Faith, and that's why I'm so even keeled now. Think about it. I'm a Marine. I'm a former Marine. You know, it's a wild side there. You know, so, but faith is like, oh, you know, calm down. You know. So it's, faith plays a big part in my day-to-day life. You know.
It's a good thing that he's even keeled, because I am not.
I think that's why we work well.
So we balance each other out really well.
They do.
I'm much more even keeled here than I was in my former, in chapter two, because it's just a whole different thing. So
yeah.
Still doesn't make me quiet, but unless
I've always been a little quiet, you know, just a little, but more so now. I just observe. I watch
people. He's always listening, though.
Yeah. I hear everything that's going on. You know, I have to be that way. For my $2,000.
Yeah.
For the kids.
Yeah. But, you know, and with that, you know, I think that's why I really, really appreciate, you know, this position where I am now, because I get to help people, talk to people. Like, we spoke with some entrepreneurs yesterday, and we kind of understood where they were coming from when, you know, she felt as though her calling was what she wasn't heeding to her call. You know, so we were able to really, you know, understand and relate to her, or relate with her about that and stuff. So
we'll try to guide her.
Try to guide her. Mm-hmm. You know, I just told her, you know, stay in prayer. You know, you'll get the answer. Just stay in prayer. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think both in Riverfront worship side, but also in the kitchen, like, so much of my hope is that we would just be a place for questions. Mm. You know, we'd be like a safe place that folks can question and can try things and can talk through those questions. But also, like, sometimes I feel like our role, and like especially my role, is just to like hold the questions. Mm. You know, like just hold space for all of the unknown.
Yeah.
And so much of life, but especially for our entrepreneurs and these businesses, like so much is unknown.
Yeah.
And there's like so much risk. And so like, what does it mean for, and what it means for one family to take that risk of full-time business is different than what it means for another family. And so just trying to like hold that space for question and for wonder and for experimentation, and to be like, all right, that didn't work. Now, like, how did that feel? And what did that look like? And what does that mean for what's next?
Right.
It's another part that feels special about the work.
Yeah.
Lisa, you mentioned getting to know Wilmington in new ways and some of the opportunities here, but also just like the place of Wilmington. I wonder if you both, is there a new restaurant nearby that you have discovered? Lisa's looking at Eric right now.
Say there is a new restaurant by that we have discovered. I'm not supposed to go get food for lunch, but there's a place right around the corner called Simo's that is out of this world. You can get the best plate of chicken or shrimp or whatever you want over rice for $10.
Yeah, we're a big fan of seeing those around here. Other things that you've discovered about Wilmington, maybe not restaurants, but like partnership wise or community wise that
I realized the other day how Wilmington has come really far in the last, I'm going to say 10 years. I'm just going to throw that out.
Right.
And again, I don't spend much time here, but I realized even just within two blocks of our building, how pretty it is and how the little squares have been sort of upgraded and made look really nice. And that Market Street Square, that was called?
Rodney Square.
Rodney Square, I'm sorry. See, that's how new I am to the city. It looks really nice. I never really knew about Downtown Visions and their involvement in Wilmington, and I think that's a... I used to see those guys walking around at night. I'd come in town to go to see some music every once in a while, and I always thought, who are they? And now I know, and all the stuff that Downtown Visions does, and all, like I mentioned before, all the partners, Wilmington Alliance, West End Neighborhood, just how much is happening down here, and how much people are trying to help each other succeed, and it's, I know it's not just us, because I see information come through over emails all the time about how you can get help pretty much with anything you need, and I really never knew there was that much happening down here and that much support down here, which is my own ignorance. But again, another reason probably why I'm here. I was born and raised in Wilmington, Delaware, and it's nice to get to know a different part of it now at this point, and to become involved with what's going on down here and helping our entrepreneurs and maybe other people as well. So, yeah, it's a pretty cool city. And it's little, it's navigable. I'm not a New Yorker. I'm a simple girl. So, you know, it's a good size. I know it's not perfect, but it's pretty good.
I feel the same way about Wilmington, because I felt that Wilmington was getting such a bad rap, you know, and now, you know, being here, being in Wilmington, I see, you know, like you said, it looks good here, it looks good there. You know, of course it has bad, you know, good and bad, you know.
Everything does.
That's everywhere you go, every city you go to. But Wilmington, I agree, they come a long way. Wilmington's come a long way.
How about you, Chelsea? Oh, wait, you're interviewing us.
No, it's good. Recent fun, surprising Wilmington things. I will say, some of you know, I got married a few months ago, and we live in Newcastle now, and I used to live just a couple blocks from Grace Church, and I miss living in this city. Mm. Like, it's not that far. I can get to work in, 12 minutes on a good day. but
driving the speed limit?
Driving the speed limit. If I hit the
lights. Stopping at red lights?
Yep, if I hit the lights right, it's quick. But just being that far out of the city, right, I have to be intentional about coming in, and I have to be intentional about showing up to community stuff. I do think one of the things, is that Wilmington's still not great at telling the story of all the good stuff.
Yeah.
And isn't great. There's 16 different newsletters that you should be on if you want to hit all the right stuff. Mm. You know, there's not as many, there's not really that central location for community events, at least for all of them. There's a couple of really good ones, but and so I just find myself having to be more intentional about plugging into the city and to the neighborhoods that we are in relationship with, in a way that I miss when I lived a couple blocks from here. I was walking every day these streets, and I was...
Everybody knew you by name.
They knew me, right?
They probably still know you by name.
Yeah, right? they still know me, but I have to be intentional to go on a walk in West Center City now.
Yeah.
When it used to just be that West Center City was my, Trinity vicinity.
Was your neighborhood.
West Center City as an extension was my neighborhood, right, and was my normal walk. And so that part, especially as I think about what does it mean to serve well and to be in a relationship with the city well, I want to do more of that in this coming year. 23 was a lot of transitions, and in personal life and work life, there was just a lot of transitions. And so
glad it's over, huh?
Yeah. Well, hoping for some steady rhythms in 24, and some more walks. And, but it's been really exciting to just see, I think especially recently, the kitchen, become reputable with other nonprofits. And become a place that other nonprofits are now thinking about when they think about food.
Right.
That 2 years in, folks are referring other people to us, and folks are coming to us when they have questions about a kitchen space, and when they need a caterer and like all of that. I don't really know what I thought that was going to look like or feel like, but it feels really good to be where we are right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think you, I got to give a lot of it to you, if not all of it.
Sure,
created something
definitely not
that,
all of it.
That is totally new to this area and a new concept to Wellington. And it's just amazing. And like Chelsea said, people are coming to us to find out how to do this elsewhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's pretty nice to be the ones to be able to guide them and help them and tell them.
Yeah. No, it was not my idea at all. the creative idea comes from Wellington Alliance, right? And it comes from Edwin Estevez and his like ability to dream. And I feel really grateful that I got to make it happen. And
she ran with it.
Right. And then I ran with it. And I stay in really good touch with Pastor Edwin. And he's like, I'm glad I could pass the vision, because he is happy in the dreaming stage and in the visioning stage. And when he was in town the other day, he was like, I'd be bored by this. Like, I'd be on to the new thing.
Yeah.
And like, you're really diving deep. And so I feel grateful that I get to dive deep and that I get to, and that I got to be around pretty early, right? Like, it wasn't at the very beginning of the dream, but it was pretty early.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got to be a part of that dream of like, what does this program look like? And what does the community feel like? And then doing a lot of like, all right, how does that happen?
And then you said, okay.
Yeah. And I said, okay.
Okay,
yeah.
I'll do it.
I don't know. I said yes to the job before I knew there was a kitchen.
they tricked you with that, huh? They slid that in there.
They did kind of slide it in. It was I came to the kitchen because Edwin said, hey, he was kind of, so originally the hope for Grace was that there was going to be a full functioning cafe when you walked in the lobby. This was pre-pandemic. Full functioning cafe as you walked in the lobby, and that there would be a kitchen collective in the basement, and the kitchen would supply pastries to the cafe, and there would be these guest chefs in the cafe. And that still might happen someday, right? Well, who knows? But at that point, the cafe was mine to run with, and the kitchen was Edwin's to run with. And then the pandemic hit, and so the cafe was like, all right, we can't do anything with this right now, because no one is coming downtown. And now this is looking like it's not going to be a 3-week shutdown, but it's going to be at least 3 months and then longer and longer. And so the cafe was kind of on pause, and Edwin's like, you know, can you just sit in on this meeting? And man, I sat in on that meeting and then I never looked back.
Yeah. Here we are.
That was one meeting and 3 years later.
Two and a half kitchens.
Yeah.
3 years later.
3 years later. Mm. But it's good. It's really good.
That's good.
Yeah. Any last things our listeners should know about you as they think about Eric and Lisa? What should they know? What's something like really fun about your life outside the kitchen? Something you love outside the kitchen?
Well, I love to travel. Yeah. Love to travel. And I'm married, but I don't have kids, so that enables me to do so. So I spend as much time as I can seeing other parts of the world. Most lately, the Caribbean is my favorite place to be, but was lucky enough to have a mother who was a travel-aholic and who took me everywhere she went for 10, 12 years. So I've seen a lot, but there's a lot more to see. So that's one of my favorite pastimes.
Mm-hmm. For me, I guess I just love to be with the family, you know, enjoying some time with them, playing games. You know, we play board games a lot. Maybe putting together, you know, some food.
Yeah, and when he says some food, like, Eric, can you just
give us about green beans.
No, like, can you give us an idea of what, I don't know, say Sunday afternoons look like in your household?
Sunday afternoons. So we'll come back from church, get changed. I normally go straight to the kitchen. And I may put together, like, some mac and cheese, some ribs on the grill, maybe some smoked salmon.
Oh, you know, no big deal. Some ribs and smoked salmon on a Sunday.
you know.
And he's got a gaggle of family there to help, so there's a lot more than that that goes into Sunday dinner.
It is. Normally I get them to try to, if I don't get them to help cook, then they're on the cleanup committee.
Yeah.
If we cook, then the rest of them are on the cleanup
committee. It's totally worth it.
Yeah.
That's worth it.
So, you know, that's my thing. Just putting together food and relaxing with the family, having a good time. You know, we used to travel a lot, Tony and I, my wife. We used to travel a lot, even with the kids. We took them a lot of places, too. But as far as internationally, we never took the kids internationally. They do that on their own.
Yeah.
But we took them all across the country, now, you know. So we don't get the chance to travel as much now. And I don't know that we have... I don't know that we want to.
Yeah.
I think it's...
You're probably doing exactly what you want to be doing.
Kind of home base.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know?
I will also say, I'm going to be sad when football season is over.
Here, here.
Because Eric and I got this football thing going right now.
Yes, we do.
Most of you know I have an internship at the hospital right now as part of my ordination process, and so... Mondays I'm there, but man, Tuesday mornings, it's so nice to be able to talk football with somebody.
Yes, and so, I enjoy that.
I'm gonna miss. We got a few more weeks.
What are you gonna do in the winter, you guys? Does anybody follow ice hockey? Because they have about 500 games.
No,
that's
too bad.
I don't follow hockey. I follow some soccer, but not as diligently as I follow football. Though I'm very excited that it's an Olympic year.
Yeah.
So
I
will get very excited about Olympic season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we
can all talk about that.
Yeah, we can look forward to the Olympics.
Talk about that.
To the Summer Olympics. it's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming.
So we gotta figure out something to keep us entertained.
Right?
We gotta think hard, guys.
Yeah, we do.
So I am so grateful to both of you. So grateful for your yes to even like all the way back to the interview process, right? Whatever craziness made you think like, huh, that might be a fun place to work. I'm glad for that spirit and energy. And for where we are now, like 4 months later from some of those initial conversations. And I'm especially excited that we are preparing for a big event around here.
Yes.
We're about to host our first major fundraiser. It's going to be a dinner in February 17th, our Feast for the Future. And going to invite you to tune in next week to the podcast to learn a little bit more about that. But for now, thank you both. Thanks for your time, for your love, for the kitchen.
Thank you, Chelsea.
Thank you for having me.